Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on two of our stations, on the NCRA radio stations. I'm, of course, Kelly. We're also on Facebook. Hopefully we'll have a test issue on the phone issue on Facebook if we can. Across from me is Michael Rubin Cloggs, who is our, we've been doing this show for close to 5 years together, haven't we?
So I think it's been close to 5 years.
Yeah, so hopefully
All right. Along
the way. And having our special guest, we have a special guest. Michael,
yes,
do you have a special guest?
We have a special guest. I think she's having some phone trouble, but we'll get to that in a second.
Are you there? Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
Tell us our special guest.
We brought back for our very first interview for 2018, Diane Hume, who is our NLP expert, and she's a life coach and also the co-host on the Balanced Living Show, which is a TV show that I guess the three of us have started, right? So so we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions, and Diane has a really special method of getting people to stick to them by using mindset and NLP. So so we'll get to that. Okay. So Diane, how's your day going?
Oh, it's going great. Had a great meeting this morning at Best Mindset through Collins Break. Amazing group, because we had a whole lot of new people come in.
Mm-hmm.
It was really super amazing.
Yeah. So, let's start with a little bit about how you got into coaching and what makes you such a great coach.
Well, that's a loaded question.
I always ask loaded questions, don't I?
Yes, yes. It started out way back, beginning actually first through network marketing, where I had many teams of 30 that I helped bring to complete success through profits and success, and just having them believe in themselves and just knowing that they can have their dream, they can live that. And that's a huge part of going into it. Then also myself personally going through a lot of issues and different challenges in my own life to bring me to wanting to help others through what I went through as well.
Right. Because I know as you were starting into this, you had some health issues with your family.
Yes. My daughter was diagnosed at 9 years old, type 1 diabetes. And it was quite a shock, because at the time we didn't know of anybody in our family that had this, and we didn't know what was wrong with her. We took her to the doctor. They just said, oh, she's probably just constipated, just eat some bran buds and she should be fine. And it went on and on, projectile vomiting and super thirsty and having to go to the bathroom all the time. It was just a continuous thing, and we had no idea that it was type 1 diabetes until my brother-in-law said, you might want to check her blood sugars, because he had seen this in his father.
Oh, okay.
So we went and got her looked at and found out that it was super high blood sugars, off the scale. They said nobody should be walking around with that high of blood sugars.
Wow.
And we were lucky that she was alive. So rushed to the hospital, and it was right as we're getting into the truck, we're driving to the hospital, and on the news is the Twin Towers have been shot at, been hit with the planes and all of that. So we'll always remember that day of our personal tragedy and the 911 tragedy at the same time, as we all kind of remember where we were.
Yeah,
times.
Yeah, I think everybody here in North America has a story about where they were when the 9/11 attacks happened. So.
Yeah, and then 5 years later, we're testing my daughter's tester on my husband, and we test him, and we find out that he's full-blown diabetic. His number is a 15. And at first he said, well, I just had some pasta, not I'm supposed to be high. And I'm going, oh, dear, you're supposed to have insulin in your body to bring that down.
Isn't that how it works? The insulin kind of activates and knocks everything back down to normal again shortly after you start consuming it, right?
Yes.
So
exactly. Yeah. It's out automatically, and his wasn't doing that.
Yeah.
So now we had two in the family. Doctor said, start taking Haley's insulin now, because after we sent in a whole a daily record of all the daily blood sugars.
Yeah.
And then his sister was diagnosed after that.
Wow. So it's kind of, I guess if there was a genetic thing, it would be on his side, huh?
Yeah, kinda, it looks to be that way. I mean, I had a grandmother that was diagnosed when she was 80 with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
And he did too. My husband did too, but we didn't have any, both of us didn't have any other issues at the time. So we had no idea what to expect. And of course, right away, we go into a guilt thing of thinking that it was something that we've done. And supposedly it's just triggers. It's just like having blue eyes or brown eyes. It's genetic. And there's not much we can do about the diagnosis. However, there's lots to do with maintenance and
right. So,
taking care of it.
So somewhere towards the end of 2017, you had a bit of a scare with Bruce, your husband, and because we all converged at the hospital one day.
Yeah.
So is he doing better?
Definitely. Yes, he is. He's doing much better. Thank you for asking. And what happens when there's any kind of illness already that a person has, that's why they say, which is a lot of controversy, but they say to have flu shots and that for elderly or anybody that's in a condition that flu could jeopardize their health into whether living or not type thing. So what happens to a diabetic when they get the flu is the hunger, you sort of don't feel like eating. And naturally, with all of us, our liver will automatically pump out sugar to take care of us.
Oh, yeah, because that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so that you still have, it stores some of that in the fatty cells of the liver so that we still have fuel to burn.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So many times a diabetic will think, oh, I haven't eaten anything. I don't need to take as much insulin, or you keep taking it and taking it and taking it. Can't even keep up with it because there's so much coming out. So this is what happened, where we could not get the blood sugars down no matter how much insulin he took. So he ended up in the hospital, and his blood pressure was lowering and lowering. And he was nauseous, and they took seven bags of intravenous to get 7 bags of IV.
Right.
They had to fill him up with to hydrate him again. He couldn't even swallow. There was not even any moisture in his mouth. He was just completely drying up.
Yeah, because I know they done a bunch of work on him, because by the time, of course, Mary and I got there, he was able to drink water.
Yeah. And the simple things in life.
Yeah.
Go, oh, my gosh, I can drink water.
Yeah, because he was so happy to be able to swallow that glass of water. It was,
So. Gratitude for the small things in life. Something like that.
Yeah, well, how about that? When we aren't grateful for what we have in front of us, right? Something happens to remind us that we should be, right?
That's for sure. And was he ever ready to get out of there when it was time?
So he didn't do anything crazy like the doctor says I can go, and then he runs up the street home, does he?
Yes, he did. I'm coming to pick him up, and I'm looking down up the road as I park, and I go, geez, that looks like the recycling bag, you know, the bag we use to carry things. That gentleman has the same bag. And I went, wait a minute. I was supposed to be picking him up from the hospital, and he's storming home. He said, "Oh, it was really sad in there, seeing all this people having a stroke. One lady had a stroke right in front of him, and he was just, so difficult, challenging."
Yeah, the hospitals are. At least in my opinion, what do you think, Kelly? Hospitals are a rough place to be.
They take forever. So it's the list of the waiting times is just terrible here in BC.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, and then when a doctor says you're better, you just want to I'm free. I'm out of jail. I'm going.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering his bed was kept in the hallway for 2 days, they didn't even have a room for him.
That's right. He didn't have a room.
Nope.
Wow.
It's a shame.
Yeah, that kind of speaks to our healthcare system. Because we're trying to recuperate. We should there should be enough room and the facility for all of us to have rooms, right? Mm.
Yes.
So.
And important to take care of ourselves.
Yes. So,
life.
Yeah, I hope Bruce is actually taking care of himself and eating and drinking the right things, right?
Yes.
So.
Doing his best. So. What I've seen.
So.
And a little bit more so. New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Definitely on that path.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of neat because yesterday morning I was doing a talk, and the first thing I did was a quote, and the quote was from Martin Luther King saying, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. And then I found out that yesterday Martin Luther King Day in the state, I believe.
Was it?
Yesterday. And I didn't even know that.
Oh, well.
You told me that. Yeah, after.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. But that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
First step.
Right. So, you're starting off your New Year's you started off with a talk right away. That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what was the overall topic of the talk?
Well, the theme was about loneliness, actually, and doing things for ourselves. And having the emotional state of what we want so that we can attract things that are good into our life. So that was somewhat what it's about, but mostly, I mean, because our emotional state is the first thing that has to happen before we can even make a resolution.
Yeah. So how important is, I'm going to go at it this way. How important is it to select the right emotions so that you're in the right mindset to be open to receive the goodness that's in our universe?
If we're not in the right mindset, what happens is you'll say the resolution just really quickly, briefly, and it will be this 2 second burst out of taking it out of this black bag, just taking a look at it. But if our mindset is, well, that won't happen. I remember last time I did that, or this happened. I heard somebody say this at a meeting, actually, a couple of weeks ago, where they could win a trip to Mexico if they did certain steps. Mm-hmm. And right away they said, well, first of all, I wouldn't want to go because of when I went with someone during the relationship, or I went with somebody that I had a relationship with, and it turned out really bad. So I don't even want to go back there again. So if we have this mindset, how can we even start to even put out a resolution or put out a dream? How can we even go there if we're only in the feeling and thought of how nothing will work?
Right. Well, I know you did something for me, and I'll share this with everybody. You know how we when we go to events, they always have a door prize, right?
Yes.
And I always said to myself, "Oh, I never win anything," right? And you did something that made me change how I thought about that, right? So the last event we were at with our really fun makeup artist, it was her New Year's thing, and her celebration for being 1 year in business. I won a door prize. It was like, oh, simply because I changed how I saw it was, well, yeah, I guess I could win it if I open myself up to what's going on around me, right?
Yes, because the only thing that our unconscious mind is feeling and sensing is that movie. It sees that picture of not winning, and it's just, it's like a magnet where, okay, you're not winning that. It's just a vibrational match.
Right.
Like I spoke about it on the Balanced Living Show. If you put one guitar in the corner, and then you put another guitar in the other corner, this is a science that if you hit the B note in the one guitar, the B note on the other guitar starts to vibrate.
Right. So, Kelly, it's time for a break, right?
Yeah, just a few moments here. Oh,
okay.
You're tuning into the Community Living Show, both on the NCRA Radio Networks and on Facebook as well. On this, we're live on both segments. And we will be back in just a few moments.
And now, a 3-minute segment with Michael Rubin Cloggs.
When you look beyond yourself, then you may find peace of mind is waiting there. Welcome back to 3 Minutes with Michael. It's a really interesting quote, and it's by George Harrison, the late Beatle. And it's kind of interesting that I would use one of his quotes earlier today. I also heard one of the songs that he wrote while he was with the Beatles, I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends. And how true that is. In both situations, he's talking about looking beyond who you are and looking to the community and help from the community and maybe even helping the community itself. And when we help the community, we're helping ourselves. There's lots of instances where we're supposed to give back to the community, and it's a really good practice to get into. And I don't know how to stress that enough. I think quite a few of my video messages have been about how we as business owners back to the community, either through volunteer work or in monetary fashions. The volunteer work is way more visible to the community than the monetary fashions. Not that either one or one's less important or one's more important than the other, but you need to decide which suits you better. So for myself, I'd rather volunteer because it's way more fun. I get to join in and hang out with people. Okay, maybe it is a bit self-serving in the fact that I get to find really cool stories. People tell me things, it's like things that are going on in their life. And some of those things I use to go help people find solutions and maybe broadcast the solutions or the problem until we can, as a society, figure out the solution. Like, for instance, I'm going to harp on one because this recently happened to a friend of mine who was stranded by a no-show taxi. Does the Lower Mainland in Vancouver need more ride-sharing programs? I suppose the ride-sharing wasn't very user-friendly. The person in question had had a couple drinks and was now looking for a ride home. It's not that they weren't willing to pay for the ride home. It was a matter of how secure was giving your credit card number straight over the phone to a person. How secure was that going to really be? So ride sharing is something that needs to be improved on, especially here in Vancouver. So again, we got to find ways to help our society and our community improve. And if you're a business owner or you're business minded, you might be the person to come up with some of those solutions. That's how innovation happens. Anyway, again, as individuals, we should join in and become part of the community and look beyond ourselves and into the eyes of the community. So go out and do something community-minded, something more than just going to the mall, though. I know it is Christmas time. I will talk to you another time. Remember, you can live a balanced life.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. You're tuning to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Association Networks. My name's Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Ruben Cloggs. We're talking to our special guest, Diane Hume, who is the Balanced Living Show guest?
Co-host. Yes.
All right.
She is our co-host at the Balanced Living Show.
Right.
Okay. So at the end of the last segment, we talked a little bit about, it was trivial about winning door prizes just because I changed how I thought about it. But how does that actually work if we were to do the same thing on something more important like a New Year's resolution?
Okay, before we can even get into our planner state of mind, mm-hmm. even start making how... if we're jumping into, but I don't know this, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't know this, and I can't do this, and all these words like try and all these other words that struggle, but how will I be able to do this if I can't, if I don't do this? And it just makes this whole thing where you can't even get clarity on what the resolution is. So if we don't have that mindset of just knowing, that having the feeling of the end result, what that would feel like, mm-hmm. and how that would be at the end of it, then it's very difficult to go through the step-by-step process of what's next. So this first step has to be the mindset going into that.
Okay, so how do we set that up?
Okay, so there's a whole emotional ladder. Mm-hmm. Esther and Jerry Hicks go through this in their book called Ask and It Is Given, and it keeps the alignment of what you are wanting compared to what you actually have.
Mm-hmm.
So the normal emotional ladder that we go through is if we're in a low vibrational state such as fear, grief, depression, despair, and powerlessness, if we're in that and we stay there for a very long time, it's really challenging to start moving up that ladder, and it takes a lot more work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're then in a lower emotional state that is in really bad alignment to what it is that your resolution is.
Okay.
Where if we get up there, we could actually just jump right up. We call this like the red zone, the where the lower emotional states are that will keep us from ever achieving what it is that we want. So many times we'll go into that fear, then we'll slowly step up to the next feeling that feels maybe a little bit better, and that might be, believe it or not, guilt can feel better than despair and grief and fear. So then you step into reasons for feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into maybe a revenge, and then anger and discouragement, and then you're still in the negative state. I'll use an example of, say, my father. When he passed away, well, what was the first thing that happened? Well, of course, I got into that grief and despair and powerlessness. And yes, you know, we have to go through the grieving process. But naturally, our subconscious mind is going to grab on to the next emotion that feels better. So now it's guilt. It's like, oh, gosh, maybe I should have spent more time with my dad. And da-da-da-da-da. And then it gets into, oh, the nurses. They should have done this. They should have done that. And then becomes this anger and blame and worry and doubt. So the reason why I explain this is this can happen for many reasons. And then we just stay in this red zone. Whereas if we jump into, if we could go right up to the top of the scale,
mm-hmm.
and go to gratitude, joy, love.
Right.
And go into that. Now, how do you do that?
Yeah, how do we do that?
In NLP, and it's not to diss and say, oh, you can't feel negative emotion. Like, this is it. But if you just really want to feel good, like, because nothing really matters than that you feel good. Like, it's really super important. And you don't have to feel guilty to feel for feeling the way you do. It's there, but try on a new feeling for 17 seconds, because once you get into a new feeling for 17 seconds, you can actually find reasons to stay there. So how do you do that again? Is go back, NLP teaches, go back to a time where you felt love.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people say, oh, just love yourself. Well, what do? Go and have a bath or whatever.
Just like Justin Bieber.
Get my nails done or spend money or type thing. What's that?
I was just saying it's just like Justin Bieber's song. You should go and love yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But saying that is just like, I never really got that until I learned NLP and I went, oh, okay. So I remember the first, like, not the first time, but one of a real strong time that I really felt a lot of love. And that was when my daughter was born and I looked at her for the first time. I just felt so much love. So now I go into my heart and I say, that's where I feel strongest. And then I can get into all my senses of what that feels like. So now if I'm in an emotional state that's not serving me right now, I can go to that time. And I remember exactly, because I've memorized it now, of how that feels and what the weight of it is and what the temperature is of it. And I can just put myself there and fill myself up with every fiber and every cell of my whole being. I can just fill myself up with those feelings. And then what starts to happen is your resolution, what it is that you want to achieve, you start to get ideas about the how. Now you can get into a planning state of mind.
So, okay, so now we've left the negative, and it's kind of funny because I hear so many times that from people that are in that negative state, they're like, I don't know why you think you're so damn positive. You just sit around talking bullshit anyway, that you're going to do all these big things and you're going to do this. Well, you can't do that is what you hear. And then when people start to move up, you start to hear them saying how many things are actually possible, right?
Exactly. And you're usually when you're in that lower vibration of those type, the doubt feeling and the worry and all of that, as you just thought about the resolution and you're now in the doubt, now you're coming from this bad alignment, you're coming from this lower vibration, and you're strongly attracting those type of people that will join in your doubter. They'll join in the party. Because they can sense it from you. They can sense this from you. And then it confirms it. Yeah, I was right. And then you go back to your comfort zone and you get into the whole frustration. And then from frustration comes boredom.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah. So how do you, when you're coaching people, how do you get them through this, get them through the process? I know you have a specific process that you put people through.
Yes. Getting them into the emotional state they need to be in order to start to even allow the planning and the goal setting to occur. So then when you're in a state of eagerness and positive expectations and positive belief, it's much easier to start stepping into that inner planner that you have within you and to start reverse engineering the goals to get you to your vision, to the resolution.
Right. Okay. So, so you help people plan not only what the steps that are going to take for the resolution, but you also help them plan the emotions behind it so that it's achievable?
Exactly. Because how can you start making plans completely if you're in a lower level? So, and you can't feel gratitude and depression at the same time. It's impossible. You can't feel positive expectations and worry and doubt at the same time.
Right.
Impossible. So it's like a stick. You have to toggle.
Right.
Toggle it.
The old toggle switch. How do our words that we use just in conversation help us to find the right state of mind? Is there certain words that we should avoid, or is there certain words that we should use, right?
Well, Michael, tell me right now, if you were to think about a resolution that you have,
mm-hmm.
and then I want you to get into the emotional state of doubt and disappointment.
Okay. But I've been working with you long enough. That's hard to do now. Okay. So
it's pretty hard. Like, you might even forget about what the resolution was or what the dream was, because you can't have the vision at the same time.
Right.
As having the doubt and the worry.
Okay, case in point, right? We were crowdfunding for broadcast fees coming into the new year. As a matter of fact, the crowdfund ended January 1st. And the crowdfund didn't have the effect that we thought. And I just choked it up to, instead of being, oh, damn. we didn't raise the 25,000. It's like, instead of being like that, I'm like, okay, so, and this is what you have taught me, is step back, look, learn from what happened, and then start planning the next steps forward, right?
Yeah, and the current reality is that, okay, that is current mm-hmm. reality. And the reality that you'd want to see is the 25,000, right?
Right.
Okay. So seeing that and what will happen with that when it occurs, and being in the right vibrational state, good alignment for that, what starts to happen is different ambassador-type programs, all of these types of things. People start lining up with you, get invited to certain things, and the steps start to come in front of you. And that's like the Martin Luther King quote of realizing it's the faith and knowing that the next step will be there
mm-hmm.
as you go along, because you're in that state. So you're going to attract now hopeful people, optimistic people, and
right.
and passionate people, and joy, and all of that, and people who are grateful.
Yeah. So, part of what you said reminded me of something that I heard this morning on the radio. That's my media addiction, as opposed to television, actually. It was in a line in a song, and the line was, it's not getting what you want, it's wanting what you have. In other words, be grateful for what's in front of you, is what you're saying, because it may not have been the step you thought it was going to be, but it is a step moving you towards it. And Kelly's giving me the signal to break. So the point is I think what you're saying is you want people to focus on what's actually and be grateful for what's in front of them. And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I could definitely use Louise Hay's analogy on that. When we come back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, Kelly.
So we'll come right back. This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks.
The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm, of course, Kelly Reburn. Across from me, beside me, on my left or on your right, Michael. Yeah. We're having a bit of technical difficulties with the connection through Facebook because of some of the audio connections. Linking through the phone can be very...
Yeah, we have to iron out all the intricacies.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So please bear with us. Yeah. We are doing our best we can to do our editing and everything on our show. So anyways, go ahead. The show is yours.
Okay.
Final segment.
Yeah, final segment. And you were starting off with a Louise Hayes analogy.
Yes. So Louise Hayes says, if you want a brand new car, say, and you're really disliking the car you have, and you're talking and thinking and feeling about this car, it's really, you're not in the right emotional state at that point. So that, you're just using the car as just a material thing, but it goes for anything. And what starts to happen is you're not even taking care of the car that you have because you're in that emotional state of, I just want to have another one. And it's like a lack. And it's not caring for what you already have. And the attraction of that doesn't happen. So she says, if you're feeling lack, you don't take care of what you have, and then you don't have the gratitude for it. And it's really hard to bring in any kind of new perspectives or new situations that you want in your life.
Right. So
that makes sense.
If you want something new to happen in your life, you have to be grateful for what you have in your life already.
Right, and take care of that.
Yeah. And then, wow, that sounds like a lesson from when we were children. Hey, if you take care of this toy, I'll buy you another toy.
Exactly. That is what it's like.
Yeah.
In the real world, too.
Yeah.
In the big world. Good point.
Yeah, you're reminding me of another book that that is like, we learn everything we need to know in life by time we leave kindergarten.
It's true.
It does sound like that. So okay, so let's talk a little bit about you do boot camps. So
yeah.
Let's talk a little bit for the next few minutes about what people learn and what you hope that they get out of the boot camps.
Right. So this is like describing fireworks in a way, to be able to put it into words that is so as beautiful as what the outcome starts to become as people go through the 7-step process in the boot camp. We need to get deep into these different emotional states to get to the vision. But it needs to be done like a lot of internal self-awareness work. Then to actually get into the shaping process of reverse imaging, I call it imagineering, and and getting into it through almost like a meditative state to make it very easily and effortless with the right emotions to go through it.
Yeah.
Not ignoring our doubter completely 100%. Sometimes that inner critic doubter part of us has some good points. So we look into that a little deeper and find out what is this inner critic saying? And is it true that this whole project should stop because of what this inner critic is saying? So we look into it and see what type of blocks these are. What is this inner critic saying, and is it true? Are they limiting beliefs? And then we can go back and look through a different inner planner within ourselves and the dreamer part of us to find out if this is true and how we can remove blocks so that we can get into the planning. And if it's, say, I'll use an example. So you want to become a doctor.
Okay.
Well, I don't have the skills for that. So many times that's where it stops completely 100%. So that might be a fact. So the inner critic might have some kind of value here.
Okay.
Because it's saying, you need the skills first.
Right.
So now we can address that and look at some of the planning within that. There might be some more questions about, what about time? What about this? What about that? And then we can put that onto another layer of getting those questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole another technique that is used through NLP.
Okay.
And we'll examine the words of what the inner critic's saying, and we'll do some toggling and paradigm shifts to get this current reality to the vision.
Okay. So it's seven steps to getting you from where you are, and I guess I'm going to kind of say convincing the inner critic that it's possible, and also listening to the inner critic so that you know, so that you find the right steps to planning your goal out, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. To get rid of the inner critic continually saying that can't word and different things to that effect, like just to eliminate those words and to do the how can I.
So we literally want to say, how can I make this resolution happen?
Exactly. How can I? And then we'll get into different ways to step into a mentor, new behavior generators, and new beliefs and capabilities, and pulling in all the senses so that it really becomes more and more real, as well as communication techniques that you use daily that will keep the goals and the process continuous. So I'll be giving all kinds of techniques around this and to nurture the relationships around us to help us to get to where we need to be. Getting into affirmations and metaphors, and it's a beautiful treasure map at the end that you'll have to really get you to where you want to be, and you'll have so much invested emotion into it that you'll easily and effortlessly go through the steps.
Okay. So, can you name out the seven steps completely?
Yep. First of all, number one is we'll create a well-formed outcome. We'll get clarity on the vision. And then two, we'll get into a planning state, a planning step, step system that shapes the dream by reverse engineering back up to the vision and journaling. That's the all in step two. And then three, limiting beliefs, stepping into the critique of your work, of what it is, listening to that. Step four is really examining the words the inner critic often uses and shift them and then paradigm and toggle from current reality to vision. And then step five, mentor model, step into what behaviors the mentors that are already doing your resolution, that have no problem with it. They do it every day. They've got there already. And what is it like daily? That's step five. And then six, you'll have all the communication techniques that will be easy to respond in a giving and receiving way, which will nurture your relationships as you set out. Set on your sail, more or less. Set your sail. And then step seven, looking at useful metaphors. So many times we're using metaphors such as, oh, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, or finding this is like finding needles in a haystack. We've got all kinds of different negative metaphors that people, if you have this self-awareness or this awareness around you, and you'll hear people say this, these type things all the time. And so we eliminate those and replace them with a creative process of powerful affirmations, writing down all the affirmations of what it looks like when what is wanted arrives. Mm-hmm. And then you watch how these ideas and events come to you. Well, how you sleep, these ideas will come to you. It's amazing. And the people and places and all of that. So you'll have a treasure map of action plans through a timeline of both past learnings, just the learnings, and applying them into the future of the plan. And, well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, those were the seven.
Yeah. Okay, so time's winding down.
Yep.
And... two things. One is one last really golden nugget to give to the listeners, and then how the best way that they can get a hold of you to either sign up for your coaching programs at Dream Receivers or your boot camps.
Okay. What is really gold is we will hold your hand through this process, and you will have your treasure map, your well-formed outcome, and you will learn the art of allowing it to come in and see it when it comes to your door. And you'll fearlessly open that door and know it is in alignment with your vision, your well-formed outcome, your dream, your resolution. Whereas before, you might not have recognized it. So now it's come into fruition through future pacing. Okay, so you can attend this, and I want, for anybody that mentions this radio show or the Balanced Living Show, I want to give a $200 discount. So if you go on my website, dianehume.net,
okay,
and go to the the calendar on the front and click register and put in the code VIP.
VIP.
Okay. VIP.
Yeah. That's so, for only, like only, we're not, go and tell other people this. This is for the people who were listening or have reheard this show.
But not on Facebook, yeah, because we're having some bit of technical difficulties with the audio. So,
well, we'll fix the audio later for that. Yeah. We'll reprocess that. So anybody who hears a version of this show, if they put VIP into the special code section when booking booking for the boot camp, they will get special pricing, right?
Correct.
And that's your website again, is Diane Hume?
DianeHume.net.
Yep.
And I also have a video on my Dream Receiver page that that I have given that opportunity to those people as well that have heard that video.
All right. Thank you, okay. Diane.
Okay. Right.
Thanks, Diane. Great. And we'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
All right, that's the show.
That's it.
And, of course, we're on two of the radio stations on the NCRA radio stations. First off is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We broadcast every Tuesday from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoons. Stay tuned. Hopefully we have particles and waves or intersections, one or the other, that is happening at 2 o'clock right after our show. The next one's on Co-op Radio, CFR 100.5 FM, and streaming online at cooperadio.org. We're also following after the show is called All Over the Map. That's on Sundays from, of course, that's on 11 to 1, following our show from 10 to 11 on Sundays. So check us out. That's it. And then, of course, we're also on the programs exchange, Community Radio Exchange, previous.ncra.ca. For all the programs that we do.
Right.
Yes. So, yes. I'm Kelly. This is Michael. Thanks very much for Diane to have us on our show. And hope to get us a chance. We'll be back on next week's show on all of the NTRA radio stations. Till then, take care, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross, and I'd like to welcome you. First of all, let me take just a moment to thank you for allowing me back into your homes. If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation for you to drag out your oil paints and paint along with us each week. Let's go over to the canvas here and let's get started.
I believe, every day's a good day when you paint. I believe, it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart. I believe, every day's a good day when you paint. I believe, it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart.
Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. There are no limits here.
You start out by believing here.
You can almost paint with anything. All you have to do is practice.
There are no limits here.
By believing here,
this is your world. You're the creator. Find freedom on this canvas.
Believe that you can do it.
Because you can do it.
Give it a little touch.
Give it a little push.
Make love to the canvas.
Give it a little touch.
Give it a little push.
Push.
Caress it.
Very gentle.
Very gentle.
Very
grab it. Lift it.
Lift it.
Fluff it.
You can go on and on and on.
Back and forth, back and forth, and forth,
layer after layer after layer.
Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees.
There are no limits here.
You start out by believing here.
This is your world.
You're the creator.
Find freedom on this canvas.
Believe that you can do it.
Because
you can do it.
Let it flow.
Think like water.
Think like water.
Relax. Let it flow.
You can go on and on and on and on.
We don't make mistakes.
mistakes. We just had happy accidents.
You can do anything that you wanna do.
Total power.
Sing along, have a good time.
This is your world. You're the creator. Find freedom on this canvas. Believe that you can do it. Cause you can do it. Cause you can do it. You can do it. I believe every day's a good day when you paint. I believe it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart. I believe every day's a good day when you paint. I believe it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.